Good night, Shabbos. This week's parsha is Parshas Veschanan, and the title of today's shiur is "The Best Things in Life Are Free," and you'll see why that's the title in this particular case. Along the lines of what we were talking about last week in focusing on the idea in step 11 of the 12 steps, which I'll repeat because it's really so magnificent, which is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. So that's very powerful. That's a very powerful thought and something very important. It's central. It's central to creating a life where one is in contact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the interesting thing is the last part where it says, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out, that's a 12-step ism, meaning to say that it's something that I would say is not universally held in Torah thought, although I could well imagine that somebody who's in recovery and is in a mode of, was in a mode and has the traits of an addict where, nothing is good enough and needs to control, it's a very refreshing approach that when you pray for something, not even to have the arrogance to pray for something that you want, but just to pray that God, tell you His will and help you carry out His will, which is obviously a very, very humble thing. And really, the Rambam and Hilchos Deos talks about that even though one should really take the middle path, but when you're being Shoiver Amida, you have to really go to the other path. And, addicts have to contend constantly with their addictive nature. So perhaps the second part of the 11th step has a lot of validity and has a lot of validity for addicts. But I do want to say that, in Torah thought, people can daven for things that they want. You're not supposed to test Hashem. In fact, as this week's parsha says, "Oslo Anasis Akash Baruch Hu." You can see the Ramban over there on the pasuk. You can't test Hashem. Meaning, you can't say if Hashem doesn't do this for me, it means He's not here. It means He doesn't care about me. But you certainly can pray for things and ask for things. Now, what exactly was Moshe praying for? Moshe was praying that Hashem would rescind the Shvua and allow him to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi on Pasuk Chav Gimel, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Rashi says, "Veschanan, ein chinun b'chol makom." The lashon of chinun only means lashon matnas chinam, that it's a gift, a free gift. Even though tzaddikim really have ma'asim tovim that they could rely on, and I think Chizkiyo was criticized, he actually does in his prayers talk about his good deeds to Hashem, but leaving that alone, even though tzaddikim can do that, but Rashi says, "Ein mevakshim me'eis hamokom ela matnas chinam," that you only ask from Hashem a free gift. That's the kind of davening that tzaddikim do, even though really they could argue that they have some merit, but they don't do that. They don't do that, and they shouldn't do that. Now, this is reminiscent of declaring one's powerlessness, right, relying on God. So basically, you're when you're davening, you're asking that Hashem gives it to you because you need it from Him. He doesn't owe it to you, and you need it. And so there's a beautiful aspect to it, which is that it really creates a stronger attachment to the Kodesh Baruch Hu because it's an attachment that's based on need and a humility. And that's very powerful. Now, the Or HaChaim on the same pasuk gives away, I think, an interesting secret. He gives away what he considers to be the four characteristics that tefillah has to have in order to be accepted. The four, so there's four qualities that one's prayer should have in order that the prayer should be accepted, and he then goes back to show how it's mentioned in the pasuk regarding Moshe's tefillah. So what does the Aruch Chaim say? He says, "Tnai number one, she ispalo ka'oni hadoifik ala Pesach. One should pray like a poor man knocking on the door. Gaderech amro, like Chazal say, and this is a pasuk in Mishle, tachanunim yedaber rosh. A poor person speaks in supplication." So number one, if you want your tefillah, if you want your prayer to be acceptable, to be accepted, it has to come from a place of where it's really, there's no feeling that you deserve it. There's no feeling that it has to happen, but rather that you are throwing yourself on God's mercy and asking as a gift that it be given to you. That's powerful. Condition number two, she yavakesh mimakor harachamim. Obviously, this means, this is a very deep thing. It probably means a lot more than what he's saying. But in some sense, he's saying the prayer should be channeling Hashem's midah of rachamim. So when you're davening, you should be having in mind that this is Hashem's rachamim. You're asking for his rachamim, for his mercy. The third condition, zman tefila, kederach omro v'anisu silecha Hashem eis ratzon, that there are certain times that are more mesugal for prayers to be accepted than other times. Aruch Chaim goes on to explain how Moshe knew these times. It's a lot harder for us to know what's an eis ratzon. But I think, you know, you have to use seichel. I can give you two examples of what might be an eis ratzon, a good time for prayer to be accepted. Number one, there's certain times of the year, right? We read, it's in Yeshaya Nun Hey, we read on a Tainus Sibur, Dir Shu Hashem B'Yimotzo Ukra'uhu B'Yoso Karov, which is, Chazal says, referring to the Seris Yimei Tshuva, that you should seek out Hashem when he's found and call him when he's near. The Gemara says, when is he near? He's near during the Seris Yimei Tshuva. So certainly during the Seris Yimei Tshuva, one could argue that it's an Eis Ratzon. So if you're going to daven for anything, daven during the Seris Yimei Tshuva, because that's one of the four conditions that the Aruch Chaim says of prayer, that it has to be at a time of an Eis Ratzon, of a time of goodwill. I think that's on the general calendar. On the individual calendar of our lives, I think that an Eis Ratzon could be when you see that in other ways you're being granted good fortune. So I'll give you an example from the Pesukim. When Rachel has her first son, Yosef, why does she name him Yosef? So the Pesuk says, Yosef li ben acher. Hashem should give me another son. So why is she doing that now? So one could argue at the moment where her prayer was answered, clearly her prayer was answered, she prayed and prayed and prayed for a son. At the moment that her prayer was answered, she asked for something else too. So that's a very important thing to keep in mind. So let's say in some way your prayer is answered and you're thankful and you're filled with gratitude, that's the time to daven for something else that you want too. So I would think. Again, the Aruch Chaim doesn't really explain what an Eis Ratzon is, but those are my thoughts about Eis Ratzon. And the fourth condition that the Aruch Chaim mentions is shetiyat tfiloso mifureshes. The prayer should be explicit. Lotia sovelis pirish bilti hagon. It shouldn't in some way be open to misinterpretation. In other words, the literal meaning of the words should be clear. Prayer itself should be explicit and clear. This is a fascinating point, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more. He brings down a Gemara, which you could, actually it's a Medrash, it's Esther Rabba, Parsha Zion, Perek Zion Pazachav Dalad, on Megillas Esther. And it's a story where this Jew is in the Midbar, he's in the desert, and he's really dying for a donkey to ride on, and he prays to Hashem to bring him a donkey. Lo and behold, he gets a donkey. But what happens is, some guy comes along whose donkey just gave birth to a young donkey, and the young donkey needed to be carried. And the guy forced the Jew to carry the young donkey. So here's this guy in the Midbar. He barely could walk, and he's praying that he gets a donkey, thinking he needs a donkey to carry him. And he ends up getting a donkey for him to carry. And they say over there that shows you have to be very careful what you pray for. So the Or HaChaim is saying that when you daven, your language has to be very specific and clear, and not open to misinterpretation. And I'll try to give a pshat about that later, because really, that really doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, after all, Hashem should hear what we want to hear. But more on the topic of accuracy in davening, you should know, bechlal, that dishonesty at the moment of prayer, Chazal had a very, very strong reaction to, and that it's problematic. Just as an example, if you want to look it up, you can look in Or HaChaim Tafresh Chaf Gimel Bar Hetiv Siman Aleph. There's an example where any kind of falsehood embedded within the tefillah, accidentally or any kind, is a very big problem for davening. And that's something to think of also, you know, in terms of your davening, that it's important that the words are clear, and it's important that there's honesty in the act of tefillah and in the prayer. And that's a challenge too, because not all the time do we feel sincerely like davening, and so on and so on. And it's a very big problem. But dishonesty in prayer is, and lack of forthrightness and lack of clarity is a major major concern. Now, this idea, again, these four tanoim needed to be met. So the Or HaChaim explains it from the pasuk itself. He shows, first it says v'eschanan, so eschanan shows tachanunim, shows that it's a matnas chinam, that you're basically asking for a free gift. El Hashem, so it's the tetragrammaton, Hashem's four letter name that means rachamim, so that's rachamim. And then it says poesahi, which means at that time, meaning in an ace ratzon. And then it says, and it also says, right, you know, lemor, right, which is saying explicitly, so the prayer has to be clear. Now, here's the interesting thing. Despite the fact that the Or HaChaim is saying that Moshe followed the four conditions, it would seem, and I'll show you a Rashi in a minute, it would seem that Moshe slipped up on the fourth condition, right? The fourth condition is that the prayer should be clear and unambiguous and not open to misinterpretation. So if you look at Pasuk Chaf Hey in that parak, it says, this is part of Moshe's tefillah, Ebra no, let me pass the Eres Aretz HaTova, and let me see the beautiful land. Rashi, in Pasuk Chaf Zion, this is where Hashem answers Moshe back and says, you will see it, Urei Be'enecha. So Hashem says, Bakashta mimeni the Eres Aretz HaTova, you asked from me that I shall see the good land. Animar l'chos kula, so I'm going to show it all to you. So it would seem from Rashi that basically Hashem is saying to him, you asked to see it, so I'm going to let you see it from afar, but you're going to see it. And this seems to be exactly the issue that Or HaChaim was driving at, that the prayer should be explicit. But let's, again, for a moment, let's focus on the concept, because I think it's really a problematic concept, which is why this fourth condition? Why would Hashem get all, so to speak, passive-aggressive, only fulfilling the literal meaning of the prayer, when, you know, Rachamono Libaboy, you know, Hashem wants your kavano, wants your heart. He knows what's belev ish. The person's davening for something. Hashem knows what he wants. He knows what he wants. What's with all the game playing that you're only going to get what you say technically? And I think it's a very difficult point. I have some thoughts about it, you know, but I must say that I think it's a very problematic point. I think the first point may be, if you acknowledge that you're asking for a matnas chinam, if you really approach the prayer that basically you don't deserve anything and you're asking for something, it means that there's nothing intrinsic in the request that really ought to allow it to be granted. And maybe then for some reason you're basically locked into what you ask for, because the only thing you really have is the request. And I'm not sure what this really means, frankly. I'm just musing that if you have no pre-existing merit, if that's how you approach the prayer, then the only merit is the prayer itself. And if the only merit is the prayer, you know, perhaps then whatever the prayer is, it is, and it stands independent of yourself and your intention. That's, I don't know where to go with that. It's just an interesting thought. I do think that something deeper is going on over here, but again, these are mystical concepts that I really have no idea if they're totally accurate. It's just kind of from here and there, you pick up from Chazal certain trends, certain emphases that it gives you an idea that maybe something's operating over here. And I think there's a part of what's operating is, I think that tefillah is in part, the power rests within the words of the tefillah. The, you know, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olamos with words, and that, you know, the whole, there's a, you know, whole Sefer Yetzirah, which is somehow the combinations of letters and words can actually create things. And so even though one who prays is really asking from Hashem something, and really whatever you ask for in your heart should be granted, it seems that the prayer itself, the words that you construct, are a part of the fulfillment of the prayer. You can't separate what you're davening for and somehow or another the channel. It's almost like, let me give you a mashal. If I, you know, probably all of us when we were little played with Play-Doh, right? So you stick the Play-Doh in the little machine, and then let's say there's a square-shaped attachment, and you push the Play-Doh through that square attachment, and then the Play-Doh comes out like a square, right? And then you put on the star-shaped attachment, and the Play-Doh comes out like a star, right? What's the point? The point is, no matter what shape the Play-Doh is, it has to go through, when it goes through that attachment, it becomes the shape of the attachment. What I'm trying to say is that the words of your tefillah are the pipe that the Shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down through. And so the words make things take shape. And therefore, if you use the wrong words, or the words have a different meaning, regardless of what you daven for, and regardless that Hashem is, so to speak, giving it to you, as it goes through those words, because those words are the pipe, they take shape to those words. So that poor fellow who was asking for a donkey, he got a donkey. Hashem, you know, was mashbia that some koach, but it went through the pipeline of those words, and then it got the shape of the donkey. Now, I know that's pretty far, but I don't know how to explain. I don't know how to explain that fourth principle any other way. So, and I think that it definitely is an explanation. You know, there's probably a lot more to it than meets the eye. Now, I want to get back to a concept of powerlessness, because ultimately, the focus here of the shir was the prayer and the meditation, the constant contact through God, and that happens through the prayer. And we said that one important aspect of the tefillah was a matnas chinam, was that it should be with no preconceived notions, with no demands, but rather just an asking for an undeserved gift. And that's really, you know, powerlessness. However, I want to point out that although we're supposed to come to Hashem, that we are powerless, right? We recognize our powerlessness in the face of our compulsions to sin. There is one thing that we have to take power of and take control over. Only one thing, and that is our will. Right? In other words, we cannot overcome sin without Hashem's help. We're powerless without His help. But here's the interesting thing. So to speak, Hashem is powerless over one thing that only we have the power, and that is the will. The will and the wish, and I think a will is stronger than a wish. You know, I wish I was a billionaire, but I don't do anything to make money. If I will to be a billionaire, I make efforts. I might not succeed, but I have a will. So I think it's more than just a wish. You have to have a will to do the right thing. And it's also in this week's parsha, because the Pasuk in Perek Hey, Pasuk Chavav, says Hashem's response to a certain request that Klal Yisrael made of Moshe, that Moshe bring over the Aseres HaDibros, and they not hear it directly, whatever the case is, Hashem's answer is, Mi Yitain, Halavai, it should only be that their heart should be liyira osi, to fear me today like in the future. So Hashem is expressing to Moshe a wish, like a parent about a child. You know, halavai, they only should continue to have their hearts toward me. You know, Hashem's not powerless. Hashem doesn't need to wish for things. He can make things happen. But no, when it comes to people's will, it has to come from people. And the Ramban over there says, "Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz me'yirat shemayim." Right? Everything is in Hashem's hands except for fear of God. So I understand that although we're powerless, there's one thing that we're not powerless. There's one thing that we have to take power, which is our will. There has to be a will to do the right thing. That doesn't mean that we'll be able to do the right thing. It doesn't mean that we're going to succeed, because we have powerlessness without Hashem's help, and we're going to need His help to succeed. But He needs our will. So that concludes this year. I'm just going to shut off the recording and open up the ability to talk.